Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kay Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We're recording remotely again over the phone this week.
Kate's eye is exploding.
My eye is exploding. I must have dropped my sunglasses in a pile of the most potent poison oak in Muir Woods, and it has caused the whole right side of my face to puff up, and I look like Sloth from the Goonies.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, you basically were, like, winking too heavily at that poison oak.
Something happened, so stay away from poison oak. I am also on prednisone, so keep that in mind when you're listening to this.
You might have a hard time sleeping
tonight.
Yeah,
that's why they said take the Benadryl at night. Okay, Maysoon, I went to the very crypto town hall that Will Brown put on at SFAI.
Oh, yeah.
And I took copious notes.
Good. Did you record anything?
I didn't record because they were recording it. They recorded video and audio, and they live streamed it on Instagram.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I'm pretty sure there's going to be recording out there, but I can give you my digest. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. You'll take me there.
Okay, first off, I want to give you the seating arrangement.
Okay.
Wasn't it in the theater? No, it was in the gallery where they have their show up, Ether, by Will Brown, where they have invested, I think, several thousand dollars into Ethereum, a cryptocurrency, and they are going to take the profit from that and give it out as grants to SFAI students, staff, and faculty to fund their projects.
Okay.
But bad news, Maysoon, I think they got money out somehow, or they set money aside, they must have, because I don't think they've turned a profit at all yet. I think they're at a loss.
Fuck.
And they kind of reference in the text for the show that back in the day, Edward Muybridge, premiered his images, the first images he did of motion, how he was kind of like the progenitor of film, like movies. Yep. And basically SFAI sold those off to fund the new genres department.
Whoa.
So, P.S., while this is all going on, while they're trying to get this show together, they got, first off, they had a grant from the Creative Work Fund.
That's a big deal.
And they were supposed to get matching funds, I'm guessing, from SFAI.
Okay.
But that wasn't exactly explicitly said. And then they didn't get those matching funds.
So what happens oftentimes when you don't get the matching funds, you don't get anything? Did they say anything about that?
No, I think they still got some money.
Okay, well, okay.
And so also, Hesse McGraw, who was the head of exhibitions there, was let go or stepped down or resigned or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, as you know, Katie Hood Morgan got also let go, and her position, I think, has been eliminated.
Yeah. Can you say why? Do you want to give...
She was, like, the head curator.
Well, she was the lead curator. Well, I mean, she was the maybe associate curator when Hesse was there, and then basically stepped into the interim curator position and then became curator.
Right.
After they made it clear that they weren't hiring for, like, a lead or head curator.
Yep.
But I don't know if Katie ever got sort of acknowledged in that role or, you know, a higher salary or anything like that, or if she, you know, they just sort of had her do the work and gave her a title or one. I'm not totally sure. I won't make any assumptions.
Okay, so you come in, you're in the gallery, they got one of those long panel tables.
Do you want to remind our listeners why they got rid of her position? Did we already talk about this on the
show? Well, SFAI hasn't really been totally clear about it, but I think the actual reason is they just don't have any fucking money. They've been letting people go
they did have a position where they stated that they're changing sort of like the direction of the gallery to be more for student use.
Yeah, but I don't think they're doing that because I don't think this is like some big visionary thing where we have a grand plan and we're going to let this person go because we have a great idea of how it's going to be better. We're going to let this person go because we don't have money for this the whole department anymore.
We're making some kind of excuse to make it sound like there's some other vision happening.
Right, exactly. And I, that kind of became clear over the course of this panel.
That there was no plan.
Well, not that there's no plan. Like, there is some vague-ass plan, but it wasn't like... The plan is a plan B, because they just don't have money.
Damn. Okay. So keep going.
Yeah, dude. We got in there. This is the seating arrangement. You got Gordon Knox, the president of SFAI.
Right.
You have Julian, who's one of the archivists. You okay. got Lindsay from Will Brown. You got David from Will Brown. You got Jordan from Will Brown. And then Katie Hood Morgan on the end, who is the kind of mediator host of the panel.
Okay.
Okay.
That's awkward for Katie to be there.
Yeah, I'm and sure. so Julian gave this whole very interesting overview of the exhibitions department all the way back like 100 fucking years or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm on prednisone. There used to be this thing called the SFAA, and basically SFAI and SF MoMA came out of that, and that was like a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And okay. SFAI has had all these really great exhibitions, all kinds. George Bellows, fucking Nicole Eisenman, all these motherfucking people.
Okay.
Okay. Great illustrious history of also very, like, great directors of their exhibitions department. Okay, so Julian was awesome. High five and shout out to Julian. And then Gordon Knox spoke, and I swear to God, Gordon I'm going to get fired.
That was Julian that said all that?
That was just Julian.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, okay.
Julian, who's, like, deep, has an MA and has done, like, tons and tons of research about the history.
Got it, okay.
Okay, so then Gordon Knox pipes in, and not one thing of substance came out of his mouth.
Really?
I'm getting fired. Yep.
No, it's okay. You'll be fine. First of all,
he's never going to listen to this.
And second of all, if anyone does listen and knows him, they're not going to say anything.
Yeah, he just basically was saying, like, the school...
Dude, don't fire Kate. She can't, you know, this shit's on you, not her.
The whole point of SFAI and art in general is speaking truth to power. Okay. He basically said the school's going through a lot of change. He's, like, saying that there's been this, like, history of separation between the exhibitions department and the students, and he's trying to bridge that, which I think is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And he said some shit about the gold rush.
What?
He always takes it back there, you know, and he's just basically saying, like, the underlying thing was just that there's no money. And that basically there's no money, and it's not his
fault. Did he say that?
Well, hang on.
Did he say
you got to really live through
this
with
me? Financial crisis. Well, no, I heard you say that, but I didn't hear you say that he said that. It sounds like you're sort of like
no,
putting
dude,
that
you
got
to live. You got. I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Okay.
Go for it. I'm listening.
So then Gordon says a whole bunch of bullshit for 5 minutes. Then Lindsay pipes in. She explains about the grant and how you can apply to it. If you have a SFAI email address, you can go to Ether Brown, that's E-T-H-E-R, Brown, spelled the usual way, .com, and apply for this grant. Mm-hmm. And it's a very brief, chill application process. You just have to have a working SFAI email. Okay, then Jordan from Will Brown talks. He went into the entire history of what happened with HESI, the history of divestment at SFAI. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And how it was such a bizarre experience to be there at the time when the exhibitions department, and I think this is a quote, is not just in disarray, but in complete dissolution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And talked about the whole Muybridge thing and how they didn't get the matching funds for that grant.
Okay.
Okay, at this point in the panel, my eye had already been swelling. I have woken up that day and my eye was already kind of swollen, but not swollen shut like it is now.
No, I saw you earlier that day, didn't I?
Yeah. And anyhow, at this point, I did touch my eye, which I thought I shouldn't do. Okay. Then David from Will Brown talks. And he kind of talks about the ether, the Ethereum, and cryptocurrency and the decentralized internet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm like, okay. Wait. Then it really gets. What is this talk about? It's very confusing.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about their project because the kind of the whole like anchor point was their project in the show.
Right.
Okay. So then.
Okay.
It gets really heated because then they kick it open for Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is when things really started to kick off.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Chris Grundner asks, what does Will Brown want SFAI exhibitions program to be? Okay.
Who's Chris Grundner?
He's some guy.
Okay. You just wrote his name down? Is he a faculty member? Is he an artist? Down. He's obviously someone who's in the community.
He's some kind of guy. He was there. He looked real. He looked like he was pretty prominent.
He's a prominent guy, guys. Just in case anyone listening wants to know who Chris is.
Okay. And so then Jordan's like, it was good before. I think he was kind of insinuating, like, it should be how it was, and now it sucks. This is such bad reporting.
Well, okay. It's not even that it's good how it was, and now it sucks. It's sort of like, now there isn't anything, it sounds right. like.
Then David is like, David was kind of like, I hope there's more international engagement, mm-hmm. which I kind of wasn't really feeling that. I mean, yeah, that'd be nice, but it's also like, I don't know. I'm not sure what that looks like. Okay, and then Lindsay is like saying that she, you know, she went into her personal history that she moved to the Bay Area 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. She talked about labor and pay and what does it mean to be when someone's visiting, because a big part of what Gordon said was that he wanted to bring in all these visiting curators and shit. Mm-hmm. And Lindsay was basically like, how are they going to be paid? Like, are you basically bringing in visiting people so you can pay them less mm-hmm. and all this stuff?
Right.
Then I touched my eye again.
Did you make notes when you touched your eye?
Yes.
Did you make notes about like what the question was? Because maybe we could see if it was some kind of nervous twitch kind of thing also. Like relate, you know.
Well, this was right after a student. I think I'm not sure if it was a grad student or undergrad, basically said like, so part of the project is that every 7 minutes there's a jingle that plays that says whether the value of the Ethereum has gone up or down. Mm-hmm. And the student was basically like, this repetitive jingle is just reminding me of like how precarious the school is and how like the value of my degree is dematerializing and being devalued.
That's great. That's
and then
great.
They walked out. It was very dramatic and I loved it.
I love it. Go student. Work it out.
Yeah. Okay. Then Brian and Carl jumped
and sorry.
In. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry that about your school sucks right now.
Late stage capitalism. Okay, mm-hmm. Then Brian Carl jumps in and he's like, why not? Okay, then the other thing was that Will Brown is who is going to select who gets the grant.
Right. Also, real quick, Brian Carl was former program director at the Hetland Center for the Arts, amongst other things. But that's how I know him most.
Yeah, he's done other stuff. Yeah. Just the three members of Will Brown are going to be picking who gets the grant money.
Yep.
And Brian Carl was like, why don't you democratize the way the money goes out? Like, who selects mm-hmm. that? And mm-hmm. they were kind of, you know, and it would be in the spirit of the Ethereum that's kind of this, like, democratized currency, mm-hmm. you know? Because it's not like the value of it is set by some central bank or something or a government. It's just, like, whatever people are willing to pay for it, I guess. And then he got in a whole thing with Jamie Healy.
Who's that?
Do you know, Jamie Healy also works at SFAI, and she's an artist.
Okay.
And then I'm not even sure what they were fighting about. They got in one of those Q&A fights where it's like, you know, they're just making, it's like very academic, but it's like you can tell by the tone of their voices that they're heated. But I
heard
honestly
about that.
Couldn't understand.
I heard about that exchange and how it was going nowhere.
Yeah, I couldn't understand what they exactly. were talking about. And then Dina Beard jumped in, and she went off on this whole thing that was kind of like pro-anarchy and pro-anarchism, that basically all our institutions are going to be, like, dissolving, and we just need to take care of one another.
Aw.
She didn't say that exactly. It was a lot more eloquent than that.
Yeah.
But she basically thanked Will Brown because, like, basically, we're all fucked. Everything's falling apart. Our last hope is just that we can care enough about each other to support each other, like, psychologically and materially.
Yeah. Like, with or without institution, was she sort of leading towards, or not necessarily?
I mean, I think she's basically saying soon there will be no institutions.
Right.
Which, that's intense.
That is intense, but it's an interesting... Yeah, I mean, I think Dina, it makes sense that Dina's saying that because she's been struggling for so long trying to keep, like, the lab alive in many different instances, you know?
Well, not just that, but she's, like, a full-blown anarchist.
Right.
So, anyhow, then there was an independent curator named Heidi, and she was basically saying, like, why get rid of the exhibitions department? It's kind of a false binary between the whole student involvement versus having it, like, organized by, like a head curator or a head of exhibitions.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a student involvement and still have a staff mm-hmm. person in charge.
Okay.
I thought that was a great question. And she was also, like, talking from her experience as, like, a guest curator. Right. And then Gordon responds, and he's just... This is when it really starts to come out that there's no fucking money.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Gordon is like, I got here at a very specific time, a.k.a. none of this is my fault. And then he's like, he didn't say this exactly, but mm-hmm. the tone or the theme of what he was saying was like, I saved the school from the brink of destruction. I mean, that's really what the, like, gist of what he was saying was, like, you know. Then he gets into his whole, like, mm-hmm. weird, vague corporate speak about how this is going to be so much better, you know. And he also did say, I think this is a quote, the turmoil started long before I got here.
Well, that's true. The turmoil's been at SFAI for the whole 100 years or so. For a long time.
Well, I mean, it's been turmoil. I mean, Mills is in turmoil. CCA is having trouble. Yeah. Like, every school that's not...
Yeah, but SFAI is, like, known for being in a financial mess.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like most of the stuff he was saying was true. It's just that, like, you don't ever get to the point and make it so that people can trust you. Okay, wait. So, wait again. There's more. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then Lindsay pipes in and she's like, you're kind of forgetting about the insane workload that visiting curators have. He also had talked about incorporating, like, faculty into the curatorial process there. And she was like, what? Right.
And that's because they're going to get paid more?
Yeah, she was like, what more are you going to ask me to do? You know, he also had mentioned that there has already been a group called the Integration Exhibitions Group. And Lindsay had never heard of that. Mm-hmm. And she's the fucking head of the photography department. So
right,
she's like
high
up the hierarchy. And she also just wears the oversight. And I was like, that's some real talk. I wrote that in my notes.
Yeah. Man, how frustrating for Lindsay.
Yeah. Okay, then it really, really started to hit a boiling point. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready. So I just don't have a sense of the room. Can you give me, like, a feeling of the room right now, like, at this point? How many minutes are we in?
We're deep
Someone's
in. We're
left.
Almost at the end.
Okay.
And
like, 45
it's like,
minutes in?
It was high. I mean, I think tension really peaked when Brian Carl and Jamie were getting into it. And, mm-hmm. like, the
and
room is,
out.
Like, is all SFAI people almost.
Yeah.
You know, tons of students. And, like, staff and faculty and, you know, some other people, some other interested parties. But it was a full room of people.
Yeah. Damn.
Okay, then Liz Thomas.
Okay.
Liz Thomas gets in the mix, okay?
I love Liz, but yeah.
And she basically asked them, like, real talk, like, how much did you guys get paid to have this show, you know? And it turned out that Will Brown also taught a class, and the show kind of came out of that class and their work with the students.
Mm-hmm.
And they for that class, they got paid as much as 1.5 people would get paid for all three of them.
Right.
And then the Creative Work Fund, I guess, also gave them each $10,000. I'm really probably not getting all these figures right, but they...
Just so you can say approximately...
Yeah, Jordan, I think, said they each got, like, $10,000 a piece.
For the exhibition?
I guess so.
That seems pretty good.
I mean, I don't know how much... I mean, it's just, like, when you really, like, break it all out into hourly pay, I feel like it always seems like you're getting paid well until you actually figure out how many hours
you
spent.
Okay, yeah, but overall in the Bay Area, artists are not, in general...
Oh, and it was over 3 years?
Oh, what was over 3 years?
They worked on the show for, like, 3 years. Is that true? That's what research assistant Katie Kondo said. They said at the talk. She was there also. Oh, okay, okay. I forgot to mention, throughout this entire thing that's happening, this whole talk, the lights that are part of the show, so every 7 minutes, there's music that plays, but they turn the music off. But there's also a series of things, like a pattern that the lights do. So every 7 minutes, the lights go out completely and then do this, like, light up pattern. And then a green light will go on if the value goes up, or a red light will go on. So that is punctuating everything that's happening in this whole discussion.
It sounds really stressful to me, honestly. The whole thing on... Within that exhibition sounds so stressful. Like, the lights, the sounds on top of this really intense conversation.
Yeah, but the sounds were off. The sound.
I'm not sure if
the
that
sound was
the
was
best
off.
Thing.
The sound was off.
Okay.
I thought the lights were really put everything, like, kept everything in perspective of, like, what is really going on. You know what I mean? That re-anchored it in, like, the money Okay, so then Liz is getting into all the real talk. Okay, so Liz Thomas pipes in with real talk about, like, what is the what's the situation with the money? Like, do you realize, like, getting guest curators actually can be more expensive than having an in-house curator because of all the fucking travel and all the other bullshit?
Yeah, of course.
And, like, and then Gordon basically is saying, like, well, there's just going to be fewer and cheaper exhibitions. He basically said that. And he straight up said that it was a tough decision. He talked about this whole thing where they have a Carlos Villa project that's like going to some biennial in Singapore and how great that is. And then he talked about Cristobal Martinez, who's in a group called Post Commodity. They just won the Carnegie International.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah. And Cristobal is the head of the art and technology department at SFAI.
I can't imagine he's going to want to fuck around with that.
No. And he wasn't there. And then basically Gordon like invoked his name. And Liz basically said if he was here, he would also want to know if people are going to actually get fucking paid for their labor, which is what the main concern here is.
Yeah, that is some bullshit. Those guys are pretty radical.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. And sure enough, then Katie had to leave because she had to catch a red-eye flight for some job that she's got.
Oh, whoa, Katie. And she's...
Katie Morgan. Katie.
Sorry. I thought you... Katie. I was like, what?
No, not Katie. She's research already assistant. Back? No, no. No, Katie Hood Morgan had to go for a curator job.
Good
for her. You know, this is when Gordon's really breaking down and kind of not saying all his, like, corporate business line. And he's like, it's not been fun. Like, these haven't been fun decisions we've had to make. You know,
did anyone ask about like transparency and like where that plays into all this bullshit?
Well, that's kind of what
years and years.
Well, we're getting to it. We're getting to it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting to it. Then Charlie Lease was basically saying he's concerned about curator positions all across the Bay Area being eliminated.
Who said that?
Charlie Lease.
Yeah.
No, Charlie.
Good. Charlie. No, I know Charlie.
I'm on steroids.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, I think this is Gordon again.
Copious notes, didn't
and
you?
He just was Gordon. This is where he's really breaking down. People just broke him down. He's just like, this isn't really an exhibition space. It's a school, we're finding people who to be faculty and curator. And then basically, it came to the end where Jordan from Will Brown is basically says, we have copies of Sarah Hotchkiss's article where she talks about all the different curators, including Katie Hood Morgan, being fired at different institutions across the Bay Area.
Right.
And he just basically said that people in positions of power, like Gordon or like, you know, Deborah Cullinan at the YBCA or, you know, that people in positions of power could just say that it sucks. Like, they can just say this sucks and it's bad that we have to do these things. But we're doing it because if we don't cut stuff somewhere, we're not going to have money to keep the place open.
Right, to keep the main function of the place open, which, like, for SFAI is actually to function as a school.
Right. You know, and he basically said, and then Gordon basically said, yeah, it is shitty, you know, and we're just doing the best we can, blah, blah, blah. But then he did go back to his corporate bullshit, and Liz Thomas was like, this is the first time in the whole night that you've actually, like, spoken candidly, basically.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. And then that was pretty much the end of it.
Why are people so afraid of that? Ugh, drives me crazy.
Well, okay. Then I had so that was the end, and then they had pizza, of course.
And you had, like, background talks with people?
I did not, because I left because I was so worried about my eye.
Oh, no.
So
I thought you were going to be like, I went out for pizza with, like, 13 awesome people who all were going to town.
No, they had pizza there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. But anyhow, Maysoon, then I talked to research assistant Katie Kondo, who's worked in nonprofits now for however long. And particularly her job is like a kind of outward facing job because she's a data analyst and the data goes to the people that are donating to the nonprofit, you know, to show that the nonprofit is working.
Is doing all the things it says it's supposed to be doing. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it.
So she basically said, like, you know, even though it sucks for us to hear it as insiders, like, it would make sense for Gordon Knox to go to KQED and say all this, like, bullshit, because if, you know, every motherfucker that's donating to SFAI is reading KQED. Okay, point is, Maysoon, whatever. If a person who's in that kind of position to be the representative of an organization is going to go talk to the press. They're going to say whatever happy horse shit bullshit to make it all sound good. Because if the donors hear that shit's fucked up, they're going to stop donating. They're going to want to find somewhere to put their money that it's actually going to do something and not just sink it into a sinking ship.
Yeah. No, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
And so in that way, it does kind of make sense to me that he couldn't, to Sarah Hoschke, say, like, this sucks, we just don't have the money, right. It just sucks, and hate doing
that's like fundraising 101.
I feel like he could say that to us.
I think he could have had, no, I actually think he could have said something more real like that even to Sarah.
Yeah.
I don't think he could have used very, like, nice, proper words to say it, but I do think if he had come across as, like, a fucking real person who cares about his staff, I think that actually would have been okay for donors to hear.
Yeah. Would it be terrible if I wasn't recording this whole time? I am recording!
Were you Oh, thank God. Me too. I already checked.
Okay.
It's like, I better be recording.
So anyhow, yeah, I think you're right. I don't know. I just really would have especially appreciated it in this setting for him right off the bat to just say, hey, like, the school didn't have enough money. Now we're kind of on stable ground. Like, the school's not going to close. Everything's going to be okay. But we did have to make some really tough decisions that we didn't want to make. That's all you have to fucking say.
I mean, I actually think the bigger concern, I mean, donors are a concern, but also the students. Like, what would they, where would they be without the students who are willing to pay the
crazy tuition.
Tuition. Thank you. So I just, like, how do you, one thing would be, like, how do you say that and not scare all of your students away or their parents, right? Like, so I think,
yeah,
there's some, I don't know, but I do think there's value in being honest and somewhat transparent to your community, you know, that cares enough to fucking show up on a whatever Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, those are the people that are going to, like, come out and support you if you fucking have the balls to, like, say what's going on. And I mean, that's how I think about it. I could definitely be wrong, obviously, but I don't know, it's frustrating.
I also feel like the students, like, I mean, I don't know how, like, I'm working with mostly, like, first year students,
yeah,
and I know they don't know any of this, they don't understand any of this that's mm-hmm. going on. And it's kind of wild to me because, like, back at Mills when they were, like, basically, I mean, maybe it's more severe what's going on at Mills, but they were basically like, we might get rid of some majors, we might, like, be closing departments and all this stuff.
As far as the students know, this isn't really, I don't know if this is impacting their education directly, you know, or, like, obviously it is in, like, a broad sense, but, like, getting rid of the exhibition program is maybe not impacting their major as, like, a whatever, a visual artist or something. I mean, you know, as far as, like, are the classes I want to take still going to be available to me?
Right. Yeah.
I'm not trying to downplay the importance of an exhibition program within a school, because I think that's a whole other thing that's very important.
Totally. So anyhow, that's what happened, Maysoon, and it was wild. It was nuts.
So earlier you said that they were laying off, like, not just Katie in the exhibition program, but other people left and right. Like, are they laying off staff, faculty? What do you know about that?
Yeah, there's been tons of people since I started working mm-hmm. there in, like, you know, the January of 2017, I think. There's mm-hmm. been just total restructuring of everything. Like, I think one of the HR people just left. Renee Rhodes was, like, the you know, the facilities or whatever person for the new genres department. She left. You know, mm-hmm. it's just been, it feels like every few weeks you get an email that somebody's leaving.
I don't know. I guess it does start to make me think, like, what is the future of these institutions? Like, well, I mean, like, arts institutions, but also I know, you know, liberal arts colleges are struggling all over the country, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I feel like there's some, like, it's real, stressful, like, root issues that you can, that weren't necessarily addressed at this or ever addressed anywhere about, like, how, you know, like, does mm-hmm. the average American care about art?
I think that's sort of starts with early education in some degree.
Right.
Like, I don't think if you ask people, do you care about art? Like, I don't think we'd have like a resounding kind of like, nah, not really. I don't give a shit. I think people in general would be like, oh yeah, I think art is great. But like where they understand the value of art in their life is maybe a different story. And I think that leads to sort of early education in our value system in this fucking country and how it's gone to shit.
Yeah, so that's a pretty intense question and maybe one that couldn't have been addressed at a town hall.
Sorry, I'm going to feel stressed out about this now.
About art and people?
Just the whole thing is just fucked up. But I feel stressed out mostly about our like this country and our society's values and in general.
Yeah, and that's why we need to remind people to get out and vote.
Yep, get out and vote and please fucking vote for Proppy. If you care about the art world,
vote for Proppy.
If you care about like our kids' education, arts education, you just have to support Proppy. Just go ahead and vote for Proppy. This will take part of the tax that's already exists. There's a 14% tax that already exists on hotels in the city in San Francisco. A small percentage of that 14%, so it's not an additional part of that percentage, will be funneled into giving more money to nonprofit art spaces in San Francisco. Cultural institutions, all sorts of different nonprofit groups that are supporting arts in the city.
Hell yeah. And vote for Kat Brooks. And if you don't want Libby Schaff, don't put her as 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, all of those things. And vote for Lex. Also, if you care about arts in your schools, vote for Lex for Board of Education, right? In San Francisco.
Lex Lifehite.
Lex Lifehite, Board of Ed. Do it. The other things going on are just more shit.
Yeah.
Just more shit, Kate. Well, I have on my list, I have all the shit that's going on with Galleria della Rasa, which is more shit.
Oh, yeah. We got to shout that out.
Basically.
Talk about that.
So Galleria della Rasa is long-term, amazing, very important grassroots arts organization based in the Mission. They are 48 years old and have been in their location in the Mission for the past 46 years. Their lease in their...
I didn't know it had been that long.
Yeah. Their lease in their current location, which is 46 years, has always been a month-to-month lease. Okay? That means, you know, like, for example, there's some organizations that when they go to a new place, they get like a 15-year lease or whatever. And for them, it's always been month-to-month. It's been fine. Or I guess it's been reasonable for the past 46 years. Recently, I think in the summer, their landlord started like pushing them for, they started saying they were going to raise the rent. They basically wanted to double the rent. So that doubling for them would be almost 62,000, from 3,100, excuse me, to 6,200 for a 5,000 square foot space. For a nonprofit organization like Galleria, they don't have a ton of money. They are doing things seriously by the bootstraps. Everyone wears every hat in that space. That's a big fucking jump to be expected to pay, like, you know, on a snap or on a dime. And so I know Galleria's...
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's huge. It's fucking huge. And it's so greedy and disgusting. And it's like, I'm sure these property owners own a million other fucking buildings where they can make whatever they want. So it's just... I'm not the person who's going to be sympathetic towards any landlord in San Francisco. It's just not possible for me. So that's one thing.
Right on.
So it's just, I can't even, I just am depressed and bummed, but I'm also like, you know, try to
say. So there's stuff we can do. Did you say what we can do?
I don't think there's anything real we can do. I think online I've been seeing like people are like, flood the emails and the phone lines of Lily Ng Trust and GBA Realty. So the owner is Lily Ng and it's managed by GBA Realty. So you can call and do all of that. But
yes, you can call or write in. I have all the info here.
Okay. Give the info.
Call the property manager, GBA Realty, mm-hmm. or you can write to the Ng family, that's NG, the Ng Family Trust, and demand a fair and reasonable lease and withdraw the 3-day pay or quit notice.
Right. So they would.
Hang on, there's a link in the bio. Hang on.
they did withdraw. 2 weeks ago, they gave Galleria a 3-day pay or vacate notice, and then they withdrew it because earlier this week, I think on Monday or Tuesday, there was a. what's it called, like a press conference with Ani and a bunch of people that are part of Galleria, sort of talking to the community. There's like pictures online of them talking about it. And so they revoked the 2-week or the 3-day pay or vacate notice then. But I think I just heard that they just sent another one out. So these guys don't want to fucking work with Galleria. It sounds like they, you know, like they, in all of the writing or in all the articles I've read, you know, they're like, oh, we want them to stay. We want to work with them. But it sounds like if you keep throwing a 3-day pay or vacate notice, it doesn't sound like you're trying to work with them, actually. It sounds like you're trying to get them the fuck out unless they can pay your 100% increase in rent.
Yeah. Well, all this info, if anybody does want to do this, you can go to galleriadelaraza.org, and I'll have a link in the underworld. You never know, you know, you never know what can make a difference.
Well, what I do want to say is that, you know, I of course, was like very concerned and kind of emailed some people to be like, hey, what's going on? What is the city doing anything to sort of help this institution? They're a legacy business in Cayo Vente Cuatro District of San Francisco, all of that. Just trying to figure out. And I think, you know, so everyone who's concerned, I know that the Arts Commission and a department in the city is working. And I know, you know, like Mayor Breed was also out speaking for on the side of Galleria. So there's a lot of people. Hillary Ronan, our district supervisor, is speaking for Galleria or in support of Galleria. There's a lot of people within the city who are trying to help Galleria negotiate, not only with the landlord and the management company, but also trying to work with them on, like, if the negotiation with the landlord doesn't work out, like, a new space, basically.
Right.
Which is kind of like, you know, they're stay open in a portion of its space. So I think what's happening now is that they're staying.
Oh, no. Katie, can I borrow your phone?
Shit.
Hey, sorry, my phone died. Okay, go ahead. I'm still recording.
But I'm recording too now. So it sounds like right now what's happening is they had to move out of their main gallery space that was sort of one space off the corner. And so now they're just in their smaller corner space on right. I think, believe it's Bryant and 24th Street.
Yeah.
And so they're staying there. They're looking at two potential future spaces, one at 16th and Shotwell and one at 24th and Folsom.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both in, like, new residential buildings scheduled to open in late 2020, but that's, like, you know, that's a long time from now. I don't know. It's just, ugh. I know that nonprofits can move to other neighborhoods and other cities and still do the great work that they're doing, but for me, Galleria, outside of the Mission, feels like shit. You know,
yeah,
I'm like,
that's
terrible. And earlier this week, this the whole thing that sort of prompted, I mean, I remember hearing about this in the summer and being concerned, and then realized, like, seeing that they were still in their space and that they seemed to, there was less kind of like urgency around the issues of feeling like, oh, maybe they were able to settle something and kind of leaving it at that. And then Rio Yanez, who I recently worked with for the Arts Commission's Passport event, posted this like heartbreaking post on Facebook about sort of like the potential loss of Galleria so soon after his father, Rene Yanez, passed away. And Rene was like the founder of Galleria. Just all of this like legacy shit that just like killed me. Like how, I'm just going to start crying.
I know. It's okay, Mamie.
Sorry.
Mamie, we got to get out there in those streets.
It's just more like, I just, like, the way that communities and people get erased is just, like, fucking awful.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maysoon.
So this episode is, like, total shit.
This is a real downer.
Anyhow.
But look, people, you got to get out and vote. Vote yes on 10.
Yes on 10 to...
Call 5 friends, see how they're voting. If they're voting, if you need to, like, take their hand and lead them there, give someone a ride.
I will give you a ride. If you know people who need a ride, I don't care who they are, I'll just go rent a zip car and give you a ride.
Yeah, same here. I have a car. If people need a ride or know anyone that needs a ride, I will get Katie to drive because I can't. I don't have any depth perception.
Katie. Katie's a hero. Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyhow, okay, everyone, stay tuned.
Let's end on a light note.
Wait, there's so much else.
Oh, my God.
We have not talked about SOEX yet.
Okay, yeah. Okay, get to it. What are you going to say?
I don't know, but we have to say something. We can't just be like, oh, something happened. We're not going to say anything.
Okay, go ahead.
Why don't you do it?
What am I going to do? You do it. You're always getting me into shit.
What? I'm getting into shit all the time. Okay, fine. Fine, Kate.
Okay.
So other news in San Francisco specifically is that recently many of us got emails from Southern Exposure announcing the resignation of their current executive director, Patricia Maloney. Now, this was somewhat of a surprise for me. Maybe for you too, Kate. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked.
Because I just wasn't expecting that to happen, even though, you know, earlier this year, so many of the staff members were laid off by this same ED. You know, I think so many of us were like, what's happening at SOEX? What's going to happen at SOEX? Are they okay? What's happening? It was a constant sort of like, what's going on? And never kind of any transparency around that. And so it's just sort of I was definitely feeling some frustration towards like the leadership of the organization. And so then the next thing we hear after those like major layoffs is that now the ED is resigning. And then we get another email from the board talking about, or saying how, you know, there's exciting new moves or new, I don't know, ideas about horizontality. And I want to be excited. I mean, I want to be excited for SOEX all the time. So I'm kind of like, but it was a huge surprise. And this happened a couple weeks ago, and we didn't say anything about it last week. And so we just want to make sure everyone's aware of this very large change.
What else is going on? Has there been any other major things? Rennie Pritikin.
Yeah. Oh, Rennie Pritikin retired from the CJM, the Contemporary Jewish Museum. I don't know when he's leaving. I don't remember offhand, but that's something. And then just this week, it was announced that Thomas P. Campbell, who was the former director of the Met in New York, is now going to be the director of the Fine Arts Museums here in San Francisco.
Like the De Young and the Legion of Honor?
Yeah, and what's weird is that the director of the Fine Arts Museums who left is actually now the director of the Met. So they basically did the swap.
That's
isn't that weird?
Really weird.
It's so weird. It's a little concerning because supposedly this guy Thomas P. Campbell, you know, resigned under pressure from the Met in early 2017. He was the director and chief executive, and I guess there were growing concerns among staff members and trustees about the Met's financial health and Campbell's capacity to lead the largest museum in the country. And so we're kind of like, uh-oh, what does that mean for the De Young? Is he going to like close them down?
Oh,
probably
God.
Not.
I don't think he will. The De Young's probably been through not. Some shit.
Yeah, the De Young has plenty of really, really wealthy donors.
Oh, Jesus, God in heaven above.
So we got, yeah. And supposedly there was like just some stuff about like how like there were no interviews of like women or curators or directors of color. You know, it's like just
no surprise there
again. No surprise there, but kind of surprise there for me at this point. I'm like, really? Are we still not doing that? We're still not like saying, hey,
well, the De Young,
we need to make sure
man,
we have
the De
like.
Young.
I know, but still,
I don't expect
that's
much
still
from the
fucking
De Young.
Crazy.
Are they going to email us? I feel like we've been getting a lot of emails. Aren't there some corrections we're supposed to do?
I don't know. Oh, wait. Who was our... Also, Dominic Wilsden from SF MoMA, he's the curator of public art education there, is leaving for... I can't remember the new position, but he's taking a new position at an institution on the East Coast, which is super exciting and crazy. I think he was at SF MoMA for 12 years or something.
Damn.
Vote for Lex. Make sure to vote on November 6th, everyone. That's Tuesday. It's just a few days away. There's a million things coming up, but we don't have to do it.
You can hear me trying to blink my eye in the microphone. Okay. Get home, anytime you go outside into the forest, get home, wash your whole body, and burn all your clothes.
From this bridge?
To the other bridge. To the island in between.
Sorry.
This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree. We love you.